will never be the same after these wonderful pujas the last few days, and the community hall also will never be the same. I can't imagine what kind of functions they can have here after it has been so well blessed. Talk a little bit. I've been talking about the children for two nights. Talk a little bit to the adults about our god Shiva. All through Sri Lanka, South India, god Shiva is worshipped. God Shiva is God. And there's 33 million other gods. And our great scriptures tell us that god Shiva created all the gods. And he created the soul of man. God Shiva, through his Sakti power, created Lord Ganesha. From his third eye, he created Lord Murga. And many other gods to help the evolution of his children, which is us. The great scripture, Tamil scripture, Tirumantram, tells us, and it's a composite of all of the Vedas and all the knowledge of the Agamas in the one great scripture, thousands of verses. It tells us that God Shiva created the entire universe and will absorb it back in Mahapalaya, back into himself. When that happens, he alone stands uncreated. He alone stands. He's the only one there. And then he creates again the entire universe and all the souls. Now we may ask, why does he create souls? It's his very nature to create, just like it's your very nature to create thoughts. And the thoughts become karma, and they start an evolution. And the evolution goes out, and finally it comes back. God sees in his wonderful Maya, creates souls. It creates a soul body, not unlike this physical body, but it's a body of light. And it begins to evolve. And then finally it inhabits its physical body and goes from one body to the other. And finally, after eons of time, it merges back. That body is grown up into the image and likeness of God Shiva. Our scriptures tell us God Shiva has three perfections, three separate perfections, and yet they're all together. One of them is the soul body, a body of light, the primal soul. Rishis, saints, sages, and even ordinary people have seen God Shiva in his body of light in their states of meditation. But God Shiva also has a mind. And it is a state of mind attainable by the yogis, Satchitananda. An all-pervading mind. He knows absolutely everything. In all the universes, simultaneously, immediately, he pervades everything. And he also has a third perfection, Parashiva, timeless, causeless, spaceless self, beyond all form, beyond all creation. And all of this is happening simultaneously in God. When God created your soul, body, you inherited two of the perfections. You inherited two of the perfections. You inherited the mind of God Shiva, Satchitananda, or his super conscious mind, and you inherited the ultimate realization on this planet, Parashivam, timeless, causeless, spaceless God. Therefore, the soul is perfect. It wasn't born in sin. It's not tainted. It's absolutely perfect. Parashivam, the state of Satchitananda, exists within you right now. Well, then we might say, well, why aren't we attaining that right now? That's because anubha, karma, and maya keeps us involved in the external mind. the ego, thinking the external mind is real, and creating karmas that hold us in the external mind while the soul body evolves. Once the soul body has evolved to the place where it is strong enough and mature enough, it automatically comes into this new samadhi, Satchitananda, and becomes all pervasive. You can sit in one place and be another place in your mind, simultaneously in another place, in another place, in another place, another planet. You read this in the scriptures, the yogis can do that. They have evolved into the mind of God Siva. And then finally, they, through practice, they can realize Parasiva. Then the soul body begins to grow and grow and grow, and finally it no longer needs a physical birth in order to continue its evolution. And on the astral plane, and on the higher mental plane, and in the third world, the soul goes on evolving, evolving, growing, growing, until finally it merges into its image and likeness of God Shiva. It merges into God. And this is the great story and the wealth of our scriptures. Si, Va, absolute, and Va is the Shakti, is the power. And our scriptures tell us that God Shiva is neither male nor female, and both male and female can be worshipped as Ardhanarishvaram, as male, or as female. However, it is best for the individual to do at whatever stage of evolution he is in. Now, to help us and to protect us, God Shiva created Lord Ganesha, who sits on the Muladhara Chakra. Who sits on the Muladhara Chakra. When we arrive in our evolution high enough to enter the Muladhara Chakra, we become enthralled with Lord Ganesha. Whereas Lord Shiva dances in the Shashwara Chakra. That's quite a way away. That takes a regular sadhana to find God. Now, what is sadhana? Sadhana, to find God, is regular religious practice. Practicing a musical instrument to be able to produce music. We have to perform our practice at a certain time every day for a certain length of time, not too long. We want to ride a horse. We have to catch the horse. We have to ride the horse and perform our sadhana in riding that horse in order to master that instinctive animal so that he won't throw us off. The same with our individual instinctive intellectual mind. Our mind is instinctive like an animal sometimes. That can be conquered. Sometimes we're too intellectual and the mind runs on in reason, and that can be conquered. How? Through sadhana. Humbling ourselves in front of God, Shiva, or a God. Whatever is your choice. Once a day. Now, how long should we perform our daily sadhana? In the Western world, in a technological age, we have things to do. Therefore, we have to shorten our sadhana. In the agricultural age, a religious person could perform sadhana 3 to 4 hours a day. He's sitting, he's performing his sadhana 3 to 4 hours a day. It's impossible now. So, we say the regularity is the most important thing. 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. Start at the proper time, end at the proper time. And that is enough sadhana, as long as we carry it on through the day. Humbling ourselves before God or God makes us strong when we deal with people in the external world. If we can't be humble, we can't be strong. If we can't be humble, we can't be aggressive in the material world. If we can't be humble, we can't have a goal for our life, our chosen dharma, and follow through with that goal in a very positive way. If we can't be humble, we can't think positively. So humbling ourselves 10 minutes a day before God, Shiva, or Lord Ganesha or Lord Murya and performing some kind of ritual that's familiar to you, easy for you to perform, even if it's placing a flower, one flower, taking 10 minutes to offer that one flower at the feet of the Lord, and along with it all of your troubles and all of your worries and all of your love and all of your problems, and leaving them at the feet of God and not taking them back out of your sacred shrine room with you. You don't take the flower back with you. You leave your problems at the feet of God. Don't take them back with you either. You give the God time to work at home. Now, how does the God do this? All the gods have thousands and millions of tanas and devas. And these devas are in the second world. They can see you, and you can't see them. But when the third eye is open, or even through the retina of the physical eye, sometimes you can see the devas. And they're in your home, and they live in your home. And they especially live in your shrine room. And they take the problem that you have, and all Vaisites have guardian devas that come to them at the blessings in the temple and guard and guide and help them and overshadow them and protect them. And in the shrine room, you leave all of your worries and all of your troubles. It's like leaving some astral matter, some psychic matter there. And it's taken away from you and dissolved. And then your own superconscious mind, the mind of your soul, mind of God Siva, gives new inspiration, new life. All of our greatest scientists didn't discover what they discovered by working up the ladder through reason. Our greatest scientists discovered what they discovered by finding it up here. And then it came down. And they said, oh, this might be a great possibility, right from the mind of God Siva. Then they spent years proving it out through reason. Proving it out through reason. But it came out of an opening in the inner world, in the third world, and came to help mankind. God Siva, the infinite Lord, is a Lord of love. He's not a vengeful God, as some religions say. They're afraid of God. They say God is very vengeful. God is very wrathful. God Siva is the father and the mother, both combined, and loves and understands his creation, our souls, and helps guide the souls back to evolution. Sometimes we still hear the propaganda that God, if you worship God Siva, all of a sudden you'll become a renunciate, you'll lose everything, everything will be taken away from you, you'll have absolutely nothing because God Siva is an ascetic. Well, that's not true. That's Vaishnava Christian propaganda from the north of India that filtered down through the south. And it's not true at all. It is not true. God Siva will give you everything because he is God. And a part of him is you. State of Satchitananda. Parasivam is within you. And your soul, just like his soul, is maturing to being an image and likeness of him. His three perfections of the great God Siva. Now we have to deal with. We're still working on one of the perfections. It's not quite perfect, but nothing went wrong. It's just evolving like a child who's perfect, but he's not grown up yet. But even within the child is such an understate, parasivam state, two perfections of the soul, and the child is growing up. So we have to guide ourselves through the Dharma patterns properly. When we choose our Dharma for this life, we have to perform it well. We have to perform the Dharma well. In the ancient days, the Dharma of a son was what his father did. That's no longer true in the technological age. Technological age, one can choose his own Dharma. The caste system doesn't exist anymore. In fact, the caste system did not exist when the Kshatriya caste was the British or the Christians. Then the whole caste system hasn't existed for hundreds of years. But the new caste system in the technological age is skill in technology. Skill, intelligence, the computer operator who can work the most complicated of computers is a higher caste than one she is training. Up until that time, the one she has trained becomes better than she. And this is why we're advancing in this new age, and why this new age is leading us into space. In our scriptures, it tells us that Saivism is a space age religion also. Much about outer space in Saivism. Saivism is not a new age religion, but it well could become the religion of the new age. Why? Because the ancient values of the past carry over into the present and then again into the future and fit in so nicely to how people think, how people are, and how they will be when the technological age becomes so advanced that people become so mechanical that they forget to love one another. All Saivites love the people on this earth because God created each and every person, no matter what religion that person is. He's in the right religion for himself. And he's either your brother soul or your sister soul. Now, how do we find Satchitananda? How do we find the inner mind of Godseva, which is all pervasive in all things and penetrates all things and is of all things? Well, this is performed through the practice of yoga. And many, many people are practicing yoga nowadays, and with little success, because our scriptures say yoga is preceded by charya, virtuous and moral living, kriya, humbling ourselves at the feet of the Lord, regular temple worship, charya, kriya. Then one comes into the natural yoga of jnana through sadhana and meditation. And out of yoga comes jnana. One goes into the depths of yoga a fool and comes out a jnani, a wise person. But we still have to deal with anava, our external ego. And that is the worst thing in the technological age that we have to deal with. The corporations build up the ego. Money builds up the ego. Our skills in technology build up our ego. And then our ego is built up and we see Maya as absolutely real.